This is Ozarks at Large. In some places, there's reluctance to identify honor-based crimes as having a basis in honor because people worry about stigmatizing a particular group.
I think it's really important to recognize the honor component. I've heard sometimes police officers say, well, I will investigate a killing just like any other killing, whether or not honor is the motivation. But the reason we really need to understand honor-based crimes for what they are is that it's not only about the killings that happen, but we need to understand that honor-based violence happens on a continuum. So the killing isn't the first thing that happens. Earlier in the process, in some societies, people are forced to undergo female genital mutilation. In many of these cases, what you have first is a forced marriage and various types of domestic abuse long before you ever have the honor killing. And we really need to understand the whole pattern of abuse that can be honor-based so that we can learn to intervene in more effective ways early in the process before somebody's actually murdered.
A conversation about honor-based violence is coming up in the second half hour of this edition of Ozarks at Large. Netflix originals like Making a Murderer and The Keepers, and podcasts like Serial and S-Town, have drawn attention to work being done by investigative journalists and civilian sleuths who are taking a fresh look at old cases. LaDonna Humphrey is hoping she can do the same for Melissa Witt, a young woman who disappeared from a Fort Smith bowling alley. Her body was found, but so far, her killer has not. Humphrey got involved in Witt's case through her work at a nonprofit organization called Let's Bring Them Home, which helps families whose adult loved ones have gone missing. Ozarks at Large's Susanna Sitek has more about a documentary Humphrey and her team are hoping to release later this year.
When you ask LaDonna Humphrey about why she chose to do a documentary about Melissa Witt, a young woman she never knew, she doesn't have to think about the answer very long.
It's as simple as this. She was a 19-year-old girl that was abducted from a bowling alley. She was doing what all 19-year-old girls do. She was in college. She held down a job. She was a normal kid. She was abducted and then 45 days later found deceased on a very lonely mountaintop in Ozark. And I can't shake that.
And to this day, 22 years later, no one has been arrested for Witt's murder. But now Humphrey says her team has something that wasn't around in 1995 when Witt's body was found. They have Facebook, where they created a page called Who Killed Missy Witt in 2015. Since then, Humphrey says they've gotten more than a million visits, more than 5,000 followers, and hundreds of comments and messages.
Facebook is really, in my mind, a game changer for cold cases because you can get information out very quickly to a targeted area.
On the page, Humphrey encourages people to come forward with information. Sometimes it's a call for any information in general, but other times she and her team are looking for something in particular, like in one of the more recent posts.
If you attended West Ark Community College in 94 and 95 and you received any kind of note on your car that seemed threatening or scary or almost like it was a stalker, we need to hear from you. Please contact us. It's very, very important. We're not saying that that's necessarily connected to Melissa's case, but it's important, and we need to have that information.
West Ark Community College is now the University of Arkansas Fort Smith. Humphrey says they encourage people to come forward by using Facebook's Messenger or by calling a tip line.
You know, something might have been traumatic in their life, they may not have connected it to the Missy Witt case. But in our mind, it could be very, very much connected. And so we have been able to garner some new leads for law enforcement just from taking a different approach.
Humphrey says in this case, like in many cold cases, people usually come forward with reoccurring information that's already been vetted by law enforcement.
But then we've also had some leads come in about specifically other crimes that have happened in that area in that time frame and just other suspects that needed to be on the radar of law enforcement.
Humphrey says she and her team didn't expect this project to take on a life of its own. They planned to work on it for 6 months, but now they've been at it for a year and a half. She says reading Witt's diary changed the course of the documentary.
And that lit some sort of a fire. I don't know how to explain it, but it really propelled us to do more. We didn't want to just tell the superficial story. We wanted to dig deeper. So I've personally gone through the case files myself 3 times, asked a lot of questions, sat with the lead detective and helped him sort out information and really kind of dig in into some different angles. And we're looking at a different angle right now that's never been looked at before.
Humphrey has also been out to the area where Witt's body was found all those years ago.
And what's so disturbing about that location is I've been there several times. You have to know where you're going. You have to have been there before.
She and her team believe Witt was brought out there almost immediately after she was attacked in the parking lot of Bowling World by someone she had been arguing with. They believe Witt knew her attacker or had met that person at least once before.
I think that the person that killed Melissa felt slighted. They felt angry. They felt jilted by this beautiful young girl that most likely spurned their advances. And I think they struck her in the head. And from that point on, I mean, they're all in. They have to complete this task so they don't get caught.
Humphrey says police know Witt was strangled. All her jewelry and clothes were gone, as were her wallet and purse. She says they also know someone had moved Witt's body closer to the road so that she would be found. Humphrey says a call that came into police a day or two before trappers came across the body is one of the more peculiar parts of the case.
A call came into law enforcement, and it was left on an after-hours answering machine, and it was what is believed to be a grandmother and her grandson, and the grandmother was urging her grandson to come forward to police with what he had found. And we believe that that was Melissa Witt's body.
Humphrey says the people on the answering machine have never been tracked down because police had no way of tracking the call in 1995. The mom of seven has also sent letters to two of law enforcement's public suspects. One of the men is Larry Swearingen. He's been on death row in Texas since 2000 when he was convicted of killing Melissa Trotter, who was also 19 at the time.
Same height and build as Melissa Witt. He met her at a community college. He sexually assaulted her. He strangled her, and he left her in a wooded area, the Sam Houston National Forest. The crime is almost identical. Now, her clothing was found on her, but she was missing, I believe, her backpack and a few other things.
Humphrey says police also know Swearingen had family in Arkansas a few hours from where Witt's body was found. He'd also been in Kansas just days before she disappeared.
I have had full cooperation from his family, his children. As you can imagine, this is very painful for them. But they came forward to us because they're concerned that perhaps their father, who is on death row for Melissa Trotter's murder, was involved in Melissa Witt's case.
She says Swearingen insists he didn't kill either of the women, and his attorney told Humphrey to stop sending him letters. The other suspect, Travis Crouch, is in prison in Colorado for taking a woman to an isolated location where he sexually assaulted her. Humphrey says Crouch is from Ozark.
You know, he worked as a child at a church camp that's just about a mile and a half from the location in which Melissa's body was found. Makes him very interesting because he is a sexual predator.
Humphrey says Crouch hasn't replied to her letters, but she has been in touch with his family, and they insist he wasn't involved in Witt's murder. She adds that Crouch and Swearingen are just two out of several hundred people that police have examined as suspects over the course of 22 years. Humphrey and her team haven't set a release date for the documentary yet, but they are hoping it happens sometime in July. She says they've had some interest from two well-known national distributors, but nothing has been set in stone just yet.
Here's our holdup right now. Larry Swearingen is on death row, and he's got about 6 months before they execute him. I've got a short amount of time before I can go talk to him. And so we'd really like to include that, and so we're trying to negotiate with his attorneys. Whether he decides to adamantly deny it or maybe to confess, I don't know what could happen. We think he should be a part of this project because he committed a crime that was almost identical. We can't rule him out.
Texas death row records show Swearingen's execution date has not actually been set yet. But according to news reports from February, the district attorney's office has requested the execution take place on September 21st. Swearingen's attorney argued his client's civil rights case should be heard before an execution date is set. In the meantime, Humphrey says she'll keep digging and answering Facebook messages.
You know, there are days that I feel like that this was the perfect crime. Someone's just going to get away with it. And then there are other days that I feel confident looking at the new information that we've generated that we have enough to put pressure on someone, especially when the documentary airs, to possibly confess or for someone to come forward and say, hey, this is what I saw or this is what I know.
So that 22 years later, Melissa Witt can get some justice. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
LaDonna Humphrey is working on the documentary with local production company Arkansas One Media. She's also consulting with J.C. Ryder, who was the original investigator on Melissa Witt's case. The current Fort Smith detective on the case is Troy Williams. Witt's mother and father are no longer alive, but Humphrey says she's been in touch with Witt's more distant family. She encourages anyone with information to reach out to her via the Facebook page Who Killed Missy Witt or an anonymous tip line. The number for that is 479-221-9393.